Can you tell me about what you did? What happened for you in the blockade?
I swung off Singleton Bridge on a bipod, and I climbed up and I locked on.
That's and how long did it take them to take you before they could get you off?
4 hours.
So tell me, why was it important for you to do that?
I think we're in a climate crisis. No, I think we are in a climate crisis, and action proportionate to the scale of the crisis is absolutely urgent. And I think I wanted to use my privilege, my ability to be able to participate in an action like that, to do it, to engage in the project.
So why did you do it at the coal port? Let my listeners understand what it is that's so important about this particular economic node.
So it's the world's biggest coal port. But in general, 98% of Australia's trade is through ports. So yeah, it makes it an like a economic bottleneck. It makes all the infrastructure so key to Australia's economic system.
Now, people might say, "Oh, well, you're getting in the way, and how dare you do that? And why don't you use more peaceful means?" What would you say to them about that?
I think disruption is material disruption is what we need right now. I think it's inconvenient at the time, but I think the climate crisis and Australia's exploitative extractive system is more inconvenient. Not just in the long term, but in the short term to frontline communities. Like there are, we are living in Australia is an active colony, and the violent regime is currently ongoing.
We're at a really terrible time in terms of climate crisis, but they're just continuing on with business as usual. You're a young person, you must be finding that very disturbing.
Totally. I think engaging in this work as a young person is so difficult because you have to, there is it, you just have to sacrifice so much. Like I have to sacrifice my education, my time with family and friends, and yeah, it's very hard. Like it really is disappointing that young people are forced to do this for their future. Like I haven't even reached voting age yet. And it feels like I already can feel the amount of responsibility I hold as a settler on this landmass to resist the horrible extractive exploitative regime. And yeah, that takes a toll on young people's mental health. I think that's a really important thing to recognize that this work is not easy, especially for young people. Not just young people participating, but all young people. Yeah, it's soul crushing to know that our future is at stake.
Actually, taking action like this probably makes sense because otherwise I know that other people are quite dispirited. Well, I was thinking that, by taking action, it means that you aren't de super depressed. I mean, because a lot of people will go, oh, well, we can't do anything about it. But you don't take that view.
I think that mindset isn't helpful. I think, compliance comes from privilege. I think there are people in this world who their existence is resistance because of the way colonialism and capitalism affects them in their everyday. Like, for some people, genocide and ecocide cannot be ignored. So I think if it is not fair for me to stay silent.
Yeah, I see your point. Now tell me, they got you off the out of the pod on and out of the locked after 4 hours. What happened to you then?
I was taken to the law, the watch house, in which, I was offered some awful bail conditions, which, included non-associations with Blockade Australia activists. And I felt that that was not something I was ready to exchange for my freedom. I felt like that those bail conditions were too repressive. So I denied them, and I was sent to Frank Baxter Juvenile Detention Centre in the Central Coast.
Oh, goodness me. Okay, so how come, what happened to you then?
Well, I spent the night there. It gave me a lot of time to reflect. Actually, funny story, they gave me some chalk and I chalked all over the walls, just like little messages like system change, not climate change, and abolish youth detention centers. And it was just like a really good way for me to, continue resisting even in the cell. But I was there for one night, and then the next day I was taken to children's court, where I saw a magistrate, and I got a 6 month good behavior bond, and then I was free, which is super exciting, but still, a very traumatizing experience that I hate that young people have to go through.
Been going on for 11 days. Oh, now I'm speaking to you on the 11th day of the blockade, but it's going to continue, isn't it? You've contributed your part, but then other people have contributed their part as well.
I think, I think resistance will always continue. Resistance has happened since the beginning of exploitative and extractive industries, and it will continue through these disruptive tactics that we've been seeing in this mobilization. And I think, there's this mobilization and there is a long future of resistance led by so many different people in so many different ways. But I think there's been so many sick actions after my one, and we've got so many yet to come in, especially like so many I'm yet to see in my lifetime.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I think I would like to stress for your viewers the importance of direct action and disruptive tactics, having yet to reach voting age, I'm totally disabled from participating in our so-called democracy, but I'm still expected to be compliant. And that is just like one of the many ways that the system keeps different groups from standing up for collective liberation. And yeah, I think it is so important to block capital, because block capital hurts them.
Thank you very much for talking to me, and thank you very much for being so brave.
Oh, no. Thank you. Thank you.